Count it a real privilege to stand before you this afternoon, though it is a fearful place to stand, to make an effort to speak to God's people. I recognize my great need of the Lord and ask each of you just to pray for me as we look together for a little while at a portion of God's Word. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I certainly encourage you to do that. I'd like to read to you from the writings of the New Testament in the book of 1 Peter. Chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd like to read the first 12 verses of 1 Peter chapter 2 in your hearing. Very thankful for the prayer that's gone before, and as we've already said, please continue to pray for me as I stand before you. Use this passage of scripture many times before and feel very much impressed with it today. I've enjoyed studying it and looking at it, and seemed to have just spoken to me this morning. If you ever found in your reading of the Bible that there are times that the Bible just tends to speak to you, that a particular passage comes in a very, very strong and meaningful way to you as you're reading and studying in God's Word. And they are special moments for us in our personal study in the Bible when the Lord, as we read the Scripture, speaks to us through His Word. And that is the way that He has shared His truth today. God, in times past, moved in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and in many different ways. He spoke to Moses from a burning bush, and God, under the Old Testament, spoke to His children in divers and sundry manners, it tells us in the Hebrew letter. But in these days, He's spoken to us through His Son and through His Word. And we read His Word, and the Lord can bless us in the reading of His Word, in the study of His Word. He also speaks to us through the preaching of the Gospel. And I pray that's what will occur this afternoon, that we'll hear the word, but as Brother Charles said in his prayer, that I wouldn't add anything to it or leave anything out, and that the Lord would bless you to hear it and hear what He would have for us in His word. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." We know that salvation isn't by the works that we do. We know that we can never do enough righteousness, do the right thing, never put off enough wrong, never do enough good to merit anything from the mighty hand of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible clearly tells us that our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. And there's never a way that we'll ever get to say, God, I've got myself good enough today. I'm doing the right thing. I've put off all the bad stuff. In order that God would accept us, even in fellowship in the church, or in communion in prayer. Brother Charles and we were dependent upon the Lord, taking the prayers that he offered, and interceding on our behalf, making intercession for him and for us, and hearing our prayers at a throne of grace. We depended on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to have our prayers heard. That's why when we pray, you will often hear our brethren pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name is simply stating that we recognize that without the Lord, we'd never be able to be heard. We would never have a desire to call on him, nor would we ever get good enough and right enough and be clean enough to be accepted with God. That on our very best day, there's so much wrong with us that without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace being given to us, we could never do anything acceptable unto God. Our prayers would not be accepted. Our singing would not be accepted. Our worship today would not be accepted. And we could not offer of any sacrifice today that God would be pleased with. But we do come today. I hope and pray we come in the right way to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy? How in the world could it be holy? It has to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And acceptable unto God. How could it be acceptable unto God? It had to be without spot and without blemish. It has to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we present our bodies holy and acceptable because he has made us that way with his imputed righteousness given to us because Jesus died for us at Calvary. And then we come before him and God is pleased when two or three meet to worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he seeketh such to worship him in this way. God is pleased with such who worship him in this way. But there's never a place that we have the right or the ability to pat ourselves on the back and say, Lord, we got it right, so we got this. It's all by his grace. He tells us here that it's important for us as God's children, though we can't get righteous enough or good enough or do it well enough, we should be making every effort to do things the right way, to do good, to do the things the way the Lord would have us to do. Not to do it in order to become his children, but because of what he has already done for us and because of his grace, we don't say, okay, his grace is going to cover it, so it doesn't matter how I act or how I talk or how I think or how I live or how I believe, but we ought to have an inward desire that's given to us by Almighty God. And we do have that by the grace of God. If you're indeed born of his Spirit, you've got that part of you that desires to do the will of God. But there's also that old man, that old woman that you and I have to contend with that gets in our way. He sure gets in my way. I imagine he gets in your way. As a matter of fact, I know from the Scripture, the Bible tells me he gets in all of our ways. That old man, that old person, that old flesh, that old carnality, that carnal mind that's in me, again, enmity against God. And that's something you and I have to labor at laying aside. And you do it today. Hopefully you've done it today as you come to meet the Lord and to worship him. But it's not just as you come here, is it? It's that once you leave, there's still that old man you got to lay aside. And a lot of times it's a lot easier to do it as you're going to church on Sunday morning than it is to go to work on Monday morning or Tuesday morning or in your life or in your family or when your old flesh gets tempted and tried by this old world. You can easily slip into those things that are not pleasing to God. And he lays out to God's little children, it's not pleasing to God to look down at his children and see them looking like the world and acting like the world and talking like the world and thinking like the world. And we have a fleshly carnality that we have to deal with and keep under. If not, it will rule our lives to where we lose the focus and the purpose of really why we're here in this world. And this passage of Scripture tells us clearly that you and I have a very important purpose in this world. He says to lay aside all malice. And malice is a word that, if you look it up, it simply means that you do something harmful to someone on purpose. You mean to hurt them. I know there are some times in my life that I've hurt people that I never meant to hurt them. I didn't have intent to hurt them. I didn't do that to hurt them. But I can also think of some times in my life that I hurt them because I meant to hurt them. I purposed to hurt them. I planned to hurt them. There have been some physically that we may can think about that way. But there have probably been many others, maybe not physically, but in other ways. That though we're not proud of it, though we're not thankful for it, though we're not pleased with it, the old mouth can do as much harm as a punch. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Oh, that's a lie, because words sometimes cut so deep that it's hard to get over them. As a matter of fact, you need the grace of Almighty God to get through all of that mess. I'm saying what we need to recognize here, that we need to lay aside today all malice, that we want to, not only with those that are close to us. You know, I think of the church folks, I don't think of a thing, one of them that I'd ever think about ever wanting to hurt. But it's not just those folks that you're supposed to lay aside all malice, but all people, all of those that you have to deal with, you know, where, you know, we're not wanting to see them hurt. Now, and we may hurt them. Yes, indeed, we may. But may we lay aside. Now, somebody said, well, why is that in man? Well, it's in the nature of man. It's part of the fall. It's what we have as men. Somebody said, I don't have to deal with that. Well, you've got another problem, and that is you don't see yourself in the desperate condition you're in. Listen, all of us can get to that place where we allow malice to rule our lives, where we do harm to someone because we intend to do it. And we want to see that done. He says, lay aside all malice and all guile. And the guile is one that's easily just can creep in. Guile is what happens when you start running your mouth and saying things that you really don't believe in order to lead someone somewhere you want them to go that they wouldn't have gone on their own. So you kind of trick them. Y'all never tricked anybody. I'm sure none of you have ever used words or things to ever trick anybody into doing something. Well, I hope you haven't. But I wish I could say to you, I haven't. There have been times that I've used things and said things. I'm not pleased about that. I'm saying this affects me. I need to be careful when I'm in the pulpit. I need to be careful that I'm not here to cause anybody to hurt. Now, I may hurt somebody, but that shouldn't be my intent to try to hurt anyone. My intent ought to be to do you good. Isn't that true? Preacher ought to be there to do you good, not to cause you hurt. And he certainly shouldn't be here to try to fool you, try to take the Scripture and twist them, try to take the truth and add a little to it. As Brother Charles said, if I take the truth and preach it, I won't have to worry about this. But if I add to it, or I take it and misconstrue it, or take a little bit from it, then maybe I could bring about something I'd like to see, or something that old flesh would want, or maybe call someone, just to say it a little bit different than the Lord would say it. It may please the ears of men, but it won't please our God. What he said for us is to be honest and not to use guile. Men use guile all the time. You go buy a car, they'll use guile to sell you the car. You go try to get anything, and you know it's part of the training that people go through to try to convince them that they really need that. In some cases, you know, Daddy mentioned a long time ago that he went for a little while when he was in Kentucky. He had been for a little while, I think, without having a job. So he went about trying to sell vacuum cleaners. And he said they were good vacuum cleaners. He said, but they would send him to places. He said he went to one place where he was supposed to go in to sell a vacuum cleaner with folks who had a dirt floor. He said, now how in the world are you going to sell a vacuum cleaner to folks who have a dirt floor? Well, if you have guile, you won't have any trouble doing that. You can go right on in and do that, and you're not concerned about them. But you'll have to trick them in order to buy that vacuum cleaner. But I've seen people, and have been guilty myself, of being, I've been caught up in it. I've done it and I've been caught up in it. We're to lay that aside. So what does that mean? That means you and I, we need to be careful how we talk to God's children. That we're talking to them honestly. That doesn't mean you're hate. You know, sometimes they say we're hateful. And but I was honest. I told them the truth because they needed to hear it. Sometimes you don't have to say everything that at the moment that needs to be said. That just control that old unruly member. But if we're coming today to think about the things of God and to hear from His Word, we're going to have to lay aside all guile. And then the next one really hits me really hard. It did this morning when I was looking at it. And that's hypocrisies. Hypocrisies is trying to be something that you aren't, or having others believe you're something that you aren't, or present yourself. I want to say this to you right now. If it was not for the grace of God and His mercy and grace in my life, what a mess I would be. If I would have to stand before God today in judgment, and because of my good works or something I've done or something I have not done, and say, Lord, I'm worthy of heaven, I'd be cast as far away from Him, and there would be no hope for me. And the only hope that I have of being the kind of preacher that I'm supposed to be, or the kind of pastor that I'm supposed to be, or the kind of husband that I'm supposed to be, or the kind of father that I'm supposed to be, or when I taught, the kind of teacher that I was supposed to be, or whatever calling God has given me, the only ability I've ever had and ever will have is what God has given me by His grace. And I have never a place that I can say, I deserve a little credit for that. It's all by and through His grace. But you know, sometimes I get confused. And I start thinking I need and deserve a little credit. I've been a pretty good husband. She ought to treat me a whole lot better than she is. Or I've been a pretty good teacher, and they ought to act a little bit better as students. Or I've been a good pastor, and they ought to be responding a little bit better like that. Or reacting to one another in a way that we forget every good thing. Listen, for every one of us that we have has come to us by the wonderful grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, should I be a good husband because my wife's been a good wife? Absolutely. Should we, as children of God, be good to one another, especially because how good the brethren have been to us? Absolutely. But if we just operate on that scale, there's going to be times that we're responding in ways God never called us to respond. He didn't say do good only to those who do good unto you. He said to pray for those who despitefully use you, to pray for your enemies. And as a minister of the gospel, I am to preach and to teach God's little children no matter the response that I get. I am to be faithful to whom? And by the way, who as a wife? Who are you to be faithful to above all others? As a husband, who are you to be faithful to above all others? As members of the church, who are we to be faithful to above all others? Who is it that really has given us every good thing that we have in this world? And that's the good Lord. And He's provided to us, not because we deserved it, but because of His grace, and it's come to us through the merit of the Lord and His Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what should we do? As much as we can. I'll tell you, you're going to have trouble with this. I believe I have trouble with it. As much as you can. It's easy to read, isn't it? Lay aside hypocrisy. I got all that gone. It's easy, but I'll tell you, it just creeps in so quickly. It gets there so quickly. He said to those five Pharisees, he says, you present yourselves in these white raiment, but inside you have dead men's bones. Have you ever sometimes think, well, I'm dressed up to go to church. I got on my white shirt and I got on my tie and I'm ready to go in and I'm ready to present myself. But listen, it's not what's on the outside. That's why the clothing that you wear is not important. That's not what's important. It's like, Lord, prepare me. Prepare my inside. That's why prayer is so important. Lord, prepare me for worship. And that preparation comes in recognizing I've got everything I have by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. So you come in saying, Lord, I want to hear from you, thy word, because thou hast been so good to me. Lord, I want to be what thou would have me to be, because thou hast been so good to me. And if I give my life in thy service with nothing but death, then so be it. And because you've already given me more far beyond anything that I could ask or ever thank thee for, and give him the praise and the honor and the glory. That's why he says to lay aside all guile and hypocrisies and envies. Oh boy, how envies come. How quick they can come, just over nothing. How much of our lives have been just, how much of our spiritual lives have been, at times we get robbed by getting envious. Preachers get envious of other preachers. Members get envious of other members. One looks at what one's got and says, I wish I had that. And one sees this one do well and says, oh, I don't, why does he get that one? Why didn't I get that raise? Why didn't I get this? Why didn't I have that? And where does all of that stuff come from? It comes from that old man. It comes from that old flesh. That's why he tells us to put off that old man. Over in Ephesians, he says to put off that old man with his deeds. And put on the new man, which is renewed. You see, you've been made new creatures. You have a new life to live, a new way to think. And we have the ability in the Lord to do these things. Now, outside of the Lord, you can labor at them all you want. It'll just wrap you up in a work system, and you'll not get any better. You just can increasingly grow worse. But when you look to the Lord, He can help us and does help us and is always our help to give us the strength to put these things aside. So that when you come and sit in a meeting, you're not having your mind on everything else. You know what envy does for you? It'll just feel, it'll make you just bitter, a bitter, bitter person. Wanting something that you didn't get, thinking you deserved it, and others didn't deserve it. When we really get down to it, what is it you and I deserve? Brother Charles laid that up real good in his prayer, what you and I deserve. The wages of sin being death, and that is eternal death, separated from God in a place of torment forever and ever. And how good God's grace has been to us that we don't have that. And not only that, we have a promise of one day being with Him in heaven. We sang when we all get to heaven. I believe we believe one day we will get there. And it won't be because we did it right. It's because of what Jesus did for us. And He is the one in whom we're trusting and depending upon. And that same one is able to fill our plate with exactly what we need to eat in this world. He's able to fill our lives with the goods that we need. He's able to keep from us the things that would harm us and be detrimental to us. And when we turn it over to Him, we can be well satisfied with the life the Lord has given us and be thankful in it and truly live a life abundant where we really don't just sing about those treasures that really are valuable to us. And we say, though, the things of this world don't mean anything to us. Brethren, sometimes they mean far more to us than they ought to. And what we can say is what Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's a great, merciful God that has been so good to us. He says, having these things, envies, get rid of these envies. Lay them aside. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. In Hebrews 12, he tells us about that. Being compassed about by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us say, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And run our race with patience, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, how can we do this? By looking unto Jesus. How can I lay aside malice? I look unto Jesus. I'll tell you what. You look to Him, He'll help you. How can I lay aside guile and hypocrisy? How can I get rid of that? Well, remember Jesus is that friend that is ever with me. And look to Him for the strength that you need to do it. Never think you can do that on your own, because it's not an old man to get himself right with God. It's not going to be there. And then all evil speakings. There you get to that mouth, that tongue. How quickly that tongue can say things. And it's not just speakings that you get rid of, but evil speakings. Things that do harm, that are meant to do harm and to do hurt. Sometimes they come in a form of slander. Like slander is when you tell something untrue on somebody just so it would slander their name and cause them harm or cause them hurt. Then sometimes evil speakings come when you're telling the truth, except you're not telling the truth. It's good to tell the truth if it's to help someone and to be beneficial to someone. But if you're telling the truth, in a sense, just to spread gossip and to hurt someone, That's a harmful thing. What does that do to the little child of grace? It robs you from being able to sit together and enjoy the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. It cuts off your growth. It cuts off that spiritual appetite. In order for you to enjoy the things of God, you can't come in from the world and carry all of the world with you and have the world sit down with you on the bench. You've got to lay aside some of that old man. And that's why prayer is so important. Listen, this isn't something, well, I got that done last week, so I don't need to do that anymore. I need to do that today. And guess what? Tomorrow I'm going to need to do that again. And before evening comes, I'm going to need to do that again. I'm going to need to do it over and over again. It's something that I'm going to battle. And how long is that battle going to wage? As long as I'm here in this world. And the day we feel like we've got it whipped, well, hypocrisy has risen up. And you know what a hypocrite can't see, really. A hypocrite is blinded to the reality that he's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite because he feels like, no, everybody else might be hypocrites, but I'm okay. I don't believe either one of you feel that today. Old Baptists ought not be ever feeling that way. Everybody else is in trouble, but we okay. I'll tell you how okay we are. Only okay in the blood of Jesus. Outside of the blood of Jesus, doesn't matter what name we have on the door. We're in trouble. But with Jesus, we have all that we stand in need of. I know I started late, but anyway, we've got 3 minutes for 11 more verses. That's okay. He says, as newborn babes, we lay these things aside as newborn babes. And verse 3 really says, and if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you've tasted, have you? Oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see that He's gracious. Psalm 34 says that. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in Him. Psalm 34 and verse 8 tells us that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted that He's good? We've tasted that He's good. I tell you, we've had some wonderful meetings. We've had some wonderful times. We've had some baptisms that I just felt the Lord in the presence. And I've seen little brothers and sisters come down the aisle and felt the Lord there and been sitting in a congregation listening to the visiting preachers here and tears running down my face and turn around and look at the crowd and tears running down their faces and hug necks. And some of it's been in hard times. Some of it's been in hospital rooms. But we've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Some of it's been at Cracker Barrel where we're sitting there and sharing the natural fellowship that comes as a group sits and feeds naturally. But you feel a love that flows between one another and a kinship that's in the Lord. And we've tasted that the Lord's gracious. He said, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you've recognized yourself to be the chief of sinners, and you feel it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief, that has been a reality at every point in your life. Oh, I wish it was a reality all the time with me, but there are sometimes I forget what a sinner I am. And I need to be hearing the gospel to remind me again of what I am so that I can love Him more by appreciating more what He's done for me. Listen, He's done such great, wonderful things for me. And He says, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, as a newborn babe, you come desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Oh, it's easy to preach to people who come desiring the sincere milk of the Word. It's easy when you see them as a little babe. You know, it's like feeding a little babe. A little babe is hungry. It isn't hard to feed. They're hungry. They want something to eat. It's almost a joy to watch them eat if they're hungry. And you get concerned, don't you? If you go to feed them and they're not eating, you get worried about their nutrition. Listen, ministers love to stand before a congregation and see them as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. And the reason they're desiring is not so they say, boy, our preachers is something, or boy, we are something, but they might grow. In other words, I need to know. I need to know, Brother Gary. I need to know, preacher, what it is the Lord would have me to do. I need to the preparation that comes from God's Word for this day and for this week, that comes from the Word of God, and I know it has to come from the Lord, and I'm hungry for that. Now, what gets in the way of that? When we don't lay aside everything in verse 1. If we carry those kinds of things with us, our appetite diminishes. You ever had your appetite diminish when you got somebody, ever gotten so busy and going so hard and getting all this done and feel like you've just barely got to church and barely there, and you sit down on the bench and you go, I wonder why I'm not getting much today. Well, that's why prayer is important. Listen, isn't it wonderful that though you've been in such a state as that, you can come to the Lord and say, God, forgive me and cleanse me and make me fit to hear thy word, wash me. That's why it's so important to pray, Lord, be with our minister. Lord, be with me so that we can hear. And then when you do hear and you're able to feed, it's always so vitally important to say, may all the praise and all the honor and the glory be given to the Lord from whence it comes. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And I believe that's the scripture. That's what we preach to God's little children. You give the baby the wrong kind of food, it's going to make it sick. And a little child of God needs food that comes from God's word. And he's provided. His word is what we're to preach. Preach the word. We're to be instant, in season and out of season. We're to reprove. We're to rebuke. We're to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we're to feed the little lambs and the little sheep that gather together. And we're to look to the Lord. And we do that so that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I believe we've tasted that the Lord is gracious. I believe he's been with us. I see his handprint all over our little church. I see his handprint on our lives. I see his handprint in our fellowship. I feel him in the singing. I feel him in the prayers that are offered. I feel him in the preaching. And may God help us to feel that more and more each and every day. And remember that we are a spiritual house. Built upon a living stone. Jesus is the stone. Peter's not the rock of our church. Jesus Christ is the rock, the living stone on which all of the other, but he's made you living stones and he's hewn you out and he's given you life and you're living and that he's made you alive and he put you in the right place and he makes us a spiritual house, and the purpose of that spiritual house is to do what? Is to praise God. Somebody said, why go to church? We go to church to praise God. Somebody said, I don't get anything out of it. Well, you're not praising God, because if you're praising God, you'll get more out of it than you ever put in it. Isn't that true? You'll get more out of it than you'll ever put in it. And may he help us to do that better and better and better until one day we hear from him from heaven. And there's a voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And either that, he calls us in death, which if he sleepeth, he doeth well. Right? That means if I leave this old world, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. May he help us to believe and trust in him more and more so that he is so very precious. That word precious means valuable. Is Jesus valuable to you? Is Jesus more valuable to you than anything else? Oh, may he be. And when anything gets in the way of that, may we put those things all, whatever they may be, how beautiful and important they may be, put him above each and every single thing as the most valuable possession we have in our lives. And we have it not because we earned it, but by his grace he's given it to us freely. Do we have a reason to thank him? I believe we do. We have a reason to be at church? I believe we do. Do we have a reason to preach the gospel? I believe we do. Do we have a reason to share that with others of God's children? I believe we do. And that's what he did. That's why he made us, to show forth his praises till he comes again. May the Lord have, may the Lord just continue to bless each and every one of you, and pray for me, and God bless you. Love you, sir.
That's it.
What number?